Welcome to National Gallery of Art Music Programs, a podcast offering a deeper understanding of the art of music. Recent concert seasons at the National Gallery have included concerts designed to highlight aspects of the gallery's unequaled permanent collection of paintings, sculpture, and works on paper. On March 17, 2010, the gallery's 69th birthday, the German vocal ensemble Amachord brought a special program of Renaissance music to complement the works of Grunewald, Memling, Van Eyck, and other great German and Netherlandish Renaissance masters in the gallery's collection. By way of introduction, we hear a conversation about the collection and the concert. The head of the gallery's music department, Stephen Ackert, talks with the gallery's Northern Renaissance paintings curator, John Hand.
John, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about what places and times we're talking about when we talk about German Renaissance and Netherlandish Renaissance art.
Geographically, of course, Germany is large. It was large in the 15th and 16th century, and it is large today. It occupies a central mass or a central area in Europe. And in the 15th and into the 16th century, it is a region of localities. It was under the rule of the Habsburgs from about 1440 on, well into the 16th century. But at the same time, it has a strongly regional character. And so you look at centers like Cologne or Nuremberg or even Vienna in Austria. When it comes to the Netherlands, you have to imagine an area that corresponds roughly to modern-day Belgium and Holland, or the Netherlands, strictly speaking, and then extends down into parts of Switzerland, also and France, and into what's called the Franche-Comté. So it's that region, sort of north of the Alps, but not really into Scandinavia, up to the North Sea that we're talking about.
As I understand it, the Dukes and Duchesses of Burgundy were important patrons of both art and music at this time.
That's correct. The Dukes of Burgundy were a cadet line of the Valois kings of France. However, they came into their own into the late 14th century and sort of took over the territory corresponding to Belgium and France, parts of France. And so beginning with, Philip the Bold and Philip the Good, and ending the last Duke of Burgundy with Charles the Bold, who perished in 1477 in the Battle of Nancy. But they were extremely well-to-do, cultured. They created great libraries, great collections of art. Their magnificence was known throughout Europe, as was also kind of standards of courtly behavior and courtiership, if I can coin a word. So this extends both to art and to music in terms of both works of art and works of music commissioned.
In the case of composers who were active in that period, we talk about such great names as Guillaume Dufay and Gilles Binchois, who did in fact work for the Dukes and Duchesses of Burgundy. Their music was marked by an approach to notation and voice leading that was more regulated than that of previous generations of composers. Jan van Eyck was court painter to Philip the Good, Duke of Burgundy. And we have, of course, one of his masterpieces, the Annunciation, in our collection. For most of the 15th century, the city of Bruges was a center for commerce, banking, and the production of art and luxury goods. Italian merchants and bankers resided in the city, and evidence of their patronage can be seen in Petrus Christus' portraits of donors, who are members of the Lomellini and Vivaldi families of Genoa, and Hans Memling's St. Veronica, which probably belonged to Bernardo Bembo of Venice or Verona in the early 16th century. When you visit the gallery, you can see these paintings in and around Gallery 39, and in order to get there, you pass through the West Garden Court, which is in fact the place where we usually present concerts. And it dawned on me that it would be really great from time to time for people to be able to hear the music of the German and Netherlandish Renaissance, even as they are visiting the art of that period at the National Gallery. So some months ago, I invited a German vocal ensemble, a five-voice male vocal ensemble from Germany to come and sing in that space, even as the exhibition was open to the public and being visited at the same time. The ensemble is called Amachord, And as I mentioned, it consists of five men who, when they were boys, were members of the famous choir of St. Thomas Church in Leipzig. And they formed a friendship at that time which remained, and even after their voices changed, they discovered that they could still sing and make good music together. And they have, in fact, gone on to become one of the leading male vocal ensembles in the world, and we were very privileged to have them. I have a little bit of element of personal pride here, because before I was the head of the music department at the gallery, I was in charge of a much smaller music series in Washington, and in the context of that series, I brought Amarcord to the United States for the first time. We hear them singing music by two of the composers who worked for the Burgundian court, Gilles Binchois and Josquin des Prez. From Binchois, they sing De Plus en Plus, and from des Prez, Je ne me puis tenir d'aimer. We've been listening to two Renaissance motets sung by the ensemble Amarcord from Germany at the National Gallery of Art, music by Gilles Binchois and Josquin Desprez. The five singers who make up Amarcord are tenor Wolfgang Lottke, second tenor Martin Lottke, baritone Frank Ozimek, bass Daniel Knauft, and bass Holger Krause. Since its founding in 1992 by former members of the Thomaner Chor, the Choir of Men and Boys of St. Thomas Church in Leipzig, Germany, Amarcord has been one of the world's leading vocal ensembles. Amarcord's hallmarks include a unique tone, breathtaking homogeneity, musical authenticity, and a liberal dose of charm and humor. The quintet's musical activities focus on medieval and Renaissance compositions. In addition, the ensemble collaborates with contemporary composers such as Sidney Bocherian, Bernd Franke, Marcus Ludwig, Ivan Moody, Dmitri Tsertsakis, and Siegfried Thiele, all of whom have written pieces especially for Amarcord. The ensemble's repertoire includes various thematic programs ranging from madrigals and romantic compositions to a cappella arrangements of famous songs, spanning all facets of vocal music. By the early 16th century, Antwerp had replaced Bruges as the mercantile and financial hub of Northern Europe. I'm here today with John Hand, the curator of Northern Renaissance paintings at the National Gallery of Art. And John, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about what we have from the heritage of Antwerp.
Oh, I'd be glad to. The transition is quite interesting and in many ways amazing. As Bruges declined as a center for both art and commerce and banking, the canals began to silt up and there were other problems. Antwerp became the center for commerce, kind of the hub in the north of Europe. It also became a kind of economic dynamo, I think, of modern capitalism as beginning in Antwerp. The stock market or the bourse, the exchange of goods and money was centered in Antwerp. So where there was money, there was also art. And so the gallery is represented by some of the great painters of the 16th century who were active in Antwerp. Among them is Jan Hossart, also Quentin Matsys and Joost van Kleve. Our Hossarts are currently off view because there will be an exhibition which opens in early October in the Metropolitan Museum in New York. Quentin Matsys is particularly interesting because he is associated with the humanist circle, and everyone knows the name of Erasmus of Rotterdam, and Matsys and Erasmus, I'm sure, were acquainted with each other. And Erasmus is one of those who criticizes the evils that he sees around him, including usury on the part of merchants, and also just the decline in morals. And so one of our painting by Matsys is called The Unequal Lovers, and is based on actually antique writings, particularly comedies of Terence, in which an old man is seen kind of fondling the chin of a young girl as she relieves him of his money. And the fact that old age can be so foolish is one of the things that is satirized by Erasmus and also by Matsys in his painting in the gallery.
I think we have to agree that Antwerp in the 16th century was a really happening place. The musical landscape in Antwerp was equally varied, with compositions written for performance in church, the court, or a domestic setting. Music published in Antwerp in today's concert includes Orlando de Lasso's Bonjour Mon Coeur, Nicolas Gombert's Triste Départ, and Heinrich Isaac's Innsbruck, Ich muss dich lassen. Let's listen to those.
Triste Départ.
We heard compositions by three men who lived in Antwerp in the 16th century, Orlando de Lasso, Heinrich Isaac, and Nicolas Gombert, sung by the German male vocal ensemble Amarcord in concert at the National Gallery of Art. Let's listen to more of the expertise of these German musicians as they sing three of what might be called the greatest hits among Renaissance madrigals, Mille Regrets, by Josquin des Prez, La La La, Je ne l'ose dire, by Pierre Serton, and La Guerre, by Clément Jeannequin. In this last piece, listen for the onomatopoeia.
Thank you. Oh.
The clanging of swords, the rattling of muskets, and the rat-tat-tat of drums, all part of the vocal technique to be sung in this piece that we just heard by Clément Jeannequin, La Guerre, or The War. The singers were the Ammerchord Ensemble from Germany, who joined us at the National Gallery of Art to celebrate the paintings in our permanent collection from the German Renaissance and the Netherlandish Renaissance. I'm Stephen Ackert, head of the music department at the National Gallery, and it's been my pleasure to bring you this concert in podcast form. I hope you'll soon join me at the gallery on a Sunday at 6:30 p.m. or a Wednesday at noon as we continue the 68-year-old tradition of weekly concerts at the National Gallery of Art in Washington, D.C.